مركز سهابة، The Voice of أهل السنة والجماعة.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Respected listeners, we have Salman Yunus on this day of Jumu'ah, the day, the happiest day of the week, and this is the day of Jumu'ah which we recite Surah Al-Kahf. We recite every Jumu'ah, we recite in abundance, and that is Durood Sharif. Every day we recite, and on the day of Jumu'ah we increase. And as well, on this day, we then make lots of dua, because there's a moment in which duas are accepted in this day. It is the 12th of Rabiul Awal, 1447. Let's welcome Mulana. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Indeed, my beautiful day, alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah, thumma alhamdulillah. Mulana, what's the latest in Durban, KwaZulu-Natal? Give us some breaking news.
Nothing really. Everything I think is still the same. I never heard anything. I know there was some taxi strike and things that was happening yesterday. I think has been called off now. But like that day, alhamdulillah, everything is fine. Everything is good. Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. Chief Mulana, what does Mulana want to speak on today? There is a few issues which we can speak on, but let's stick to what Mulana wants to speak on, inshallah.
Inshallah, today, I just thought of it being also Rabi al-Awwal, and we're on the 12th of Rabi al-Awwal, between the 8th and the 12th. And alhamdulillah, we find that many people are very active during this period of the year and very eager in displaying their love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in whether there's programs being made or attended. And just yesterday it was at our Musalla, and it was the Zuhr Salah. And then one uncle came by me, and then he asked me, are we not having any program tonight? So I asked him, no, I don't think we'll be having a program. So then he asked me that, but the other masjid are having a program, why aren't we having a program? And I told him that, you see, other places can have it, but I feel it's not appropriate to have any program, because then we create an environment such that we put it into the mind of the awam, and we are responsible for this, that this is significant in Islam, this is attached significance to this date and to the aspect of this month, whereas we don't find this here really. And people grow up otherwise thinking it to be an auspicious day, auspicious night in Islam. So since our guidance is Quran and Sunnah, and we don't ever find it in the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or in the life of Sahaba radiallahu anhum, where the life or the birth of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was celebrated in one day or in one night, where people gathered and this was done. So as such, we rather avoid this year, because then it catches on. And once it catches on, then generations to come, they are affected into the wrong belief, the wrong thinking. And then we have to explain at the same time that it does not mean we do not have love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It does not mean that there is whatsoever. Actually, it means we have true love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because we are displaying it in the manner that he showed us. And what is that manner? That not once a year, not once a month, but every single moment of our lives should be the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We don't have to have a gathering or a program or be with people to show this. Especially, the ulama would explain, when something becomes so common amongst people that they start to think it part of deen, then it's necessary now to leave it out. It's necessary to avoid it, because it mustn't be thought that this is now part of deen. So I felt that perhaps just to discuss regarding this aspect of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and more so the lifestyle, the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we'll just target one aspect as we go along, we will realize this here. You see, our Islam is so beautiful and so complete that every aspect of our life is shown to us. Every manner of doing something is shown to us. There's no room for us to use our own brains, for us to think, for us to contemplate, should it be done this way or that way? Everything, and that is the miracle of the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that one person, the best of all creation, came into the world and showed us in such a short span of his life on how to live our entire life. Whether it's from the time we are born till the time we die, everything is mapped out for us. And the beauty of this is that it's applicable till the end of times. Imagine a lifestyle shown to us 1400 years ago is still applicable in what we say the most modern of eras, the most modern of times, where people saying you have to keep up with the times. They say we don't have to keep up with the times. The times need to realize they have to keep up with the successful way. They have forgotten the successful way. That's why there's so much misery, so much turmoil in families, in communities at large. In many ahadiths, when you look at it, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us that, you know, eat with your right hand, put on your right hand side first clothing, put your right shoe first, dust your shoes. And just yesterday it was that I was speaking to a new Muslim. And I asked him, I said, you know, maybe many people are looking at you and they want to think now, or they're asking you questions regarding Islam. And one common question you might find is they'll ask you, but why do Muslims eat with your right hand? Why do you all put on your right foot first? Why do you all do like things in a certain manner? And a very easy reply they can give us is that even if you eat with your left hand, it's not going to make any difference. The food is still going to get eaten. Even if you put your left foot on first, your shoes are still being, it's not really, logically we look at it, it really doesn't have any difference in it or any different effect. But the most beautiful answer and the simplest answer is that we have a choice in our life. Always we have a choice in our life on which way we want to follow, in which path we want to take. The way we follow, maybe both ways will lead us to the same destination we're going. But who do I want to follow? That if I'm going to eat, yes, we're still going to be eaten, I'm still going to get that energy. But the manner in which I've done it, who am I resembling? Who am I copying? Am I copying the way of my beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Or am I copying the way of shaitan, the devil? And we find this push in the world that how unique that if one just has to think and contemplate that why is it the whole world, the ways of the world, the fashions of the world, it's always contrary to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Always. We'll find where men are shown to wear pants above their ankles, they say below. Where women are told below the ankle, they say above. Where men are told keep a beard, they say take it out. Where women are told cover the hair, they say show the hair. Where men are told that you are the caretakers of the woman, they say no, woman will be independent. Everything you see of the world is a push contrary to the teachings of Islam, contrary to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This can't just be coincidental. This can't just be by chance, no, they've chosen this way. They have understood that the success of a Muslim is by following the way shown to us by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They have understood this, yeah. And by us following the sunnah in every aspect of our life, we will be getting that nur of the sunnah. We will be getting the love of Allah because we are copying the beloved of Allah Ta'ala. Often I give this example, I might have given it before. Like that child who is in a shop, and all of a sudden one uncle comes and says, here's one chocolate for you. And that child is surprised. I don't even know this uncle. I don't even know who he is. He's giving me a chocolate and he's smiling and tears in his eyes. He's giving me this. And then the child asks, uncle, why are you giving me this? And one simple reply that uncle says, you remind me of my beloved son that passed away already. He was young like you. You remind me of him. So because you reminded me of him, I wanted to do something good to you. I felt like doing something good to my son. Very similarly, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the beloved of Allah Ta'ala. He was favored with the blessings of Allah, with the barakah, the ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala, with the love of Allah, the most important, the love of Allah. We want that love. And for us to get the love, there's no other way other than the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to follow it like that. Then we'll see when we bring the sunnah to God, we love Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah in turn will love us.
قل إن كنتم تحبون الله فاتبعوني يحببكم الله. Say to them, O Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, that if you love Allah, then follow me, and Allah Ta'ala will love you. This is the only successful way of the love of Allah. No other way. And it said, follow me. Follow. And how does we follow? The example is given of how that animal, a camel, how it follows that mother everywhere, how everything is there. Similarly, we have to follow Rasulullah Sallam, not just to declare, not just to claim our love, but to show it in our following of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That is crucial. That is the most important thing. So we eat with our right hand, we eat with our left, we put our right foot on first, we take out with our left side first. As a Muslim, we got our code of life. And we have to ask ourselves, yes, I might accomplish it in a different manner, but who do I want to resemble? And do I feel honor? Do I feel honor that someone says, hey, you're reminding me of a Muslim? Someone looks at me, they know you're a Muslim. Why? Because you are violent, you are using water. When you are eating, you are sitting and eating. When you are drinking, you are sitting and drinking. Do we feel honored as a Muslim? Speaking to the madrasa, so I asked them yesterday, I told them, just what the speak to me about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Speak to me about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And not a single student was able to. And after that, I didn't ask them. I just gave them, okay, take a few minutes, just have some time off. Did this on purpose. And within that time of 5 minutes, it was non-stop talking about soccer players, about talking about soccer, about weekend, where we're meeting, and talking about this Premier League, UEFA. And then I stopped them after 5 minutes. I told them, see how easy it was for y'all to talk about what's in your heart, what your love. It came out without even me asking. You just mentioned it to each other. When will the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam come in our heart that we are able to speak about Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in a manner of love or the manner of understanding the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? So this aspect of why we do certain things in a certain manner is because we have two ways, the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam or the way of Shaytan. And which way do we want to do it? Whose way do we want to follow? It's not just about putting the right-hand side first. It's not just about eating or drinking in a certain manner. It's about fashioning the mind of understanding that I have to live in accordance to how Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us. You know, when we were young, and when madrasa, and we always had that respect for our asatiza, and they always said, you know, don't speak above your asatiza, don't backchat your asatiza's shoes, put it straight. And then we came across a time where we came across many Salafis. And one mentioned, you people, the way you'll do for your ustad is like you'll worship your ustad. And I asked him, what do you mean by this? He says, you'll do the shoes like this, you don't talk like this, the way your demeanor in front of them. I said, yes, that is correct. There is nothing wrong with it. It's not no form of worship. This is a sign of adab and respect. This is our source of knowledge. This is the person teaching us about Allah and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then that made me think. And I asked him, that how do you teach your children to be, or your students? And he said, well, we don't tell them anything. And then one day I went to visit that place. And I saw the students there. And there was basically no adab whatsoever in them. No understanding on how to greet. No understanding on how to speak, how to walk. If some elder comes in, how to be seated or stand up, whatever it is. They didn't have nothing whatsoever. And then we realized that our asatiza never do it for them. They never do it because they wanted us to put their shoes straight or they wanted us to be like this in front of them. They did it for this mindset of adab and akhlaq to enter us. So that when we go out in the world, now when we are speaking to our seniors, when we are speaking to the elderly, we are speaking to the ulama, we have already had this training in us on how to conduct ourselves. So now in the world, that akhlaq of Rasulullah ﷺ can be shown without us even realizing what they were doing with us, how they were training us and guiding us. It was done. But the golden thing was to follow the instructions. So When it comes to the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the way our Akabir have taught us and mentioned it to us, we never even realize, but we're living our lives according to the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We are getting the akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam without us even going into it. But this is the beauty of holding on to our seniors, of holding on to the teachings of our seniors, that we don't realize it at that moment. But later on in life, when circumstances arises, then we see all that which we've done, which we never even realized was of benefit. Now it comes to aid. So this way of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is either his way or it's someone else's way. Someone else's way. And just so, you know, this topic is so vast and it opens the doors to everything to discuss in our life. But I just, in the few minutes, about 10 minutes we have remaining, I just want to touch on one aspect, on to see whether we are doing it according to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or are we doing it according to Shaytan, Dajjal and the rest of, we say, childbirth, or the aspect of a newborn baby soon arriving. We find in, we're not going to go into it, there's so many can be said, but if it comes to nikahs, it comes to people getting a job, or whatever happiness, how are we celebrating it? What manners are we doing it? Do we even realize that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us all of this even? Everything, and this is the beauty, the more we go into it, the more the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes into our heart, that he taught us everything. Nothing was left. Allah ta'ala inspired Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with whatever was needed for us to live in this world. So this aspect of child, of having children, we see it's a very big fashion industry also. Money-making scheme, where they have baby showers, they have baby reveal, gender reveal. Who are we following? Where did we get this from? It was never done before. Are we like sheep, just follow whatever the world says blindly? And in doing so, that barakah is removed. We are affecting the child. We are affecting the future of that child. We are affecting our own future. That child, Allah Ta'ala says, the child comes with its own barakah. It comes with its own rizq. And now we are doing everything that's going to remove that barakah. So a few aspects of childbirth, some of the sunnahs we can discuss. One is, when a person makes intention always, they have to increase the progeny of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that how the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam can go on the day of Qiyamah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will be so happy seeing his large ummah. So we are having a child for that reason, one of those reasons, that how we can add to the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Not to say, I have a child, my brother, my sister, they don't have a child. I have a child so that I can dress them up in how I like them to be. No. We have it with the intention of Islam. How this child can become the mujaddid of the era. How this child can revive deen. He can be used for the khidmat of deen. Right? So when we are having this year, then you see along the way, very important is that the environment, one is we think the child is in the womb, but it listens to everything. Sometimes we still have that haram, that music playing, the television being watched. Then we see that child now when it's born, we say, why the child is so badly behaved? Why it got such bad manners, such bad habits, even crying so hysterically? All this has an effect. Ulama have advised us, and we find that when a child is to recite in an audible manner, the child is listening. Listen to Quran, listen to the durood. These all have an effect on the child within the womb. The child, once it reaches that phase of its formation, where it can hear, it can understand, all this year is important. Right? Then we find this baby gender reveal that has hit the ummah by storm, and how sad it is that even what we'll say, ulama, even what we'll say, what we consider pious in the community, they too, on their status, or on the small clips they release, this is the baby, and funny ways are done. Money is squandered, wasted. For what? Whose excitement? Are we getting happy by other people enjoying? Or is the happiness for us? The happiness is for the mother and the father, for the family. But now, what happiness is they showing others? That person might feel, I can't have children. What if one bad nazar falls, and then after the day we see miscarriage? We need something. All these are realities. But we don't realize these things. So this whole gender reveal story, We have to abandon it. It's not part of Islam. It has nothing to do with Islam. And if a person wants to find out the gender, there's no prohibition in this year. But to reveal it in a, what you say, a spectacular manner or in some unique style, that is thing. And still even finding out the gender, how many times it's wrong. So this in itself is a lesson for us. Wait till the child is born. We've waited all this time. The child is forming 9 months. So let us just wait. It's not going to harm. It adds to the excitement even. It adds more to the excitement of not knowing what child is, that a child is born, and now it's a boy or a girl. This is all from the blessings of Allah Ta'ala, the excitement of the moment. When the child is born now, so at birth itself, as soon as the child is born, then the adhan should be given in the right ear and the iqama in the left ear. Adhan in the right ear and iqama in the left ear. And it shouldn't be given so loud that you wake up the whole hospital or the whole house or the child becomes startled, but rather in a good manner, in an audible manner, loud enough manner for the child to hear and maybe those around it can still hear it. So adhan in the right ear, iqama in the left ear. Then you find something called tahniq. Tahniq is where a date is chewed, and preferably and most likely it should be done by some pious person and not some pious person who we think is famous or some other individual, but a genuinely pious person as considered pious by the ulama and those around us. So this is the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam chewed the date, and now it's a newborn baby. Don't go and put the whole date in the baby's mouth. That's why we say hikmat. Learn from the akabir. I was just telling, there was another person who, one of my friends, first child he had. And I was explaining this to him. And this is where I thought about explaining these aspects. Because he didn't know you don't put the whole tajur in the mouth. As a newborn baby. So this way you're going to learn. You're going to learn from your seniors, from your parents, by asking those of experience. You tell you know, take your finger, your index, your hundred finger, rub the inside of the date slightly, get the, what we call the layer, not the whole piece even. Just get the formation of it, the gel, what you want to say. You take that there and you rub it onto the palate of the child. So it melts away in the mouth. And that way, this tahniq gets done. This is how Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam done it. And we're not looking at the scientific benefits of it, even though there is. But we do it because of the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That is the greatest benefit, the greatest blessings. Then we find after this year now, within the 7 days, or by the seventh day, the child should be named. If it's named before the day, no problem. But at least by the seventh day, the name of the child should be given. The shaving of the head should be done. And the aqiqah by the seventh day, if it can be done, it can be done. Otherwise, if it's not possible at that moment in time, then any other time, some say 7, 14, 21 days, you work in multiples of 7. Otherwise, even if it's done any time after that, they're not in the multiples of 7, it will still be counted. And aqiqah on itself also is sunnah. So if one is not in the financial capability to do it, then there's no hard and burden. Sometimes people put this burden on a person. You never do aqiqah, you never do this here. The person, inshallah, at a time in his life where he'll be able to do it, he can do it maybe years later even. But Islam is not difficult. The birth of a child is not difficult. So these are some of the sunnats that we can do at the birth of a child, and let us revive it, especially this thing of tahniq and getting the correct people to do the tahniq and adhan, iqama. And when it comes to naming of the child, again, whose way are we following? Are we following the West and the modernists, where they want to take all fancy names, all what they'll say, unique names, whereas that name is void of any barakah? It just sounds fancy. What Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned is, give good names to you, because on the day of Qiyamah, you'll be called by your names and your father's names. Give a good name. And Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, the person who names out of love for me, names a child Muhammad, then Jannah, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam will take him to Jannah out of love, concern for Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. In the hadith it comes also, the best names you can give is Abdullah and Abdul Rahman. These are names of servitude, of showing your devotedness to Allah Ta'ala. And when we are choosing names, we got the whole galaxy of Anbiya to choose from, the whole galaxy of Sahaba radiallahu anhu to choose from. Why do we want to go for any other names? They are the best role models. We name our child with the intention, oh Allah, we are naming them after this Sahabi, after this Anbiya, because they must be like them. That's the intention of naming. Not because we want a unique name, someone to say, hey, we haven't heard a name like that before. And if you want that, there are so many Sahaba radiallahu anhu whom we don't even know about because we never go into their lives. Let us go and open the books, Hayatul Sahaba, open the books of Sahaba radiallahu anhu, and see just how many Sahaba names there are which people haven't heard of. And name, read the story of that Sahabi, enjoy it, find attachment, and name our child after that day. To the name, correct choosing of name, spelling the name correctly. Sometimes we don't even realize that it's an Arabic name, Farsi name, Persian name. We just take the name, and then we want to say it's an Arabic name. If you're taking it as an Arabic name, and now you want it as an Arabic name, the meaning is totally different. Now that meaning has an effect on the child. So be knowledgeable about the name also, about what origin is it from. And when we're spelling it into the English language, let us try to spell it as close as possible to the original language that it came from. Please see, our time has elapsed. These are some of the aspects of how we can follow the way of Rasulullah. And one of these ways is when it comes to childbirth, and which is very common, alhamdulillah, these are happening, how we can stick to the sunnah of Rasulullah. And this one final point is that clothing of the children, the baby is born, we want the malaika, we want the nur, the barakah. Don't put that animate objects, that Mickey Mouse and Teletubbies, whatever we want to put for the child now. Don't go down that line. Whatever we are going to clothe the child in is going to have an effect on the child. Especially when the child is 3, 4, 5 years old. We are putting for them those, what you will say, immoral dressing. It's going to affect their minds. So the dressing and clothing are all different aspects, inshallah. Another day we can discuss that there. May Allah Ta'ala accept, may Allah Ta'ala grant us love of the sunnah of Rasulullah, and for us to realize that the only way we do things is according to the life of Rasulullah. Jazakallah wa'ala.
Jazakumullah khairan, Mulana, for that message. Make dua for us, inshallah. And we'll meet you next week. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah.